just get Elisa. I'm gonna intentionally not start right at 9, but confirm if any more bids came in before we start the meeting. Just so
what is the receipt? I didn't see the post. What's the receipt? Because usually, I know that's great opening time, receipt time.
I believe it says up to 9 a.m. Yeah. Received until 9 a.m.
On this date, this was the date, correct?
Yes. For all these above reasons, as well. I'll just go back.
You have one.
I'll just go back to
the he just moved. He saved the seat and everything for you.
Did I hadn't seen you in here.
I asked her if she would bring anything.
They were mistaken, Christian, for you because of that. It was a whole conversation back then.
When you first said you wanted to know that, I just looked at that.
I'm not a lawyer. I don't like people.
Well, she does it all the time. I made sure I saved this one. You could be in the hot seat once.
Oh.
Especially if you don't come in. I don't want to be in danger.
I don't want to hold up a charger.
You're the one who needs to stop. Clarissa's about to move.
Thank you. Right. Right, Timu.
Justice Services.
Made in China like everything else. I don't know.
Oh, boy. It's probably right, though.
I mean, our flags are made in China, right? So, anything that they can do to make money from us.
So we're not formally starting yet, but just want to let folks know we're going to actually delay starting for just a couple of minutes because we also have a bid opening that's a part of the business meeting this morning, and so we are receiving bids up until 9 a.m. So I want to make sure that we have a minute or two for any bids that were received right up until the last moment to make their way into the meeting so that we have them for the opening and reading into the record.
Hey, 9 a.m. means 9 a.m.
No more? Okay, perfect. Good to go, Elisa? Okay. I'm not good to go unless I have my glasses. Good morning again, so we can get started. It's 9:01 a.m. on March 24, 2026. Call to order this regular meeting of the Board of County Commissioners. And with that, if you would please rise for the invocation.
Alrighty, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you so much for the ways that you are moving in our county. Lord, and we just invite you into this room. We invite you into this space this morning. Thank you so much for the leadership that you have given our county. And right now, I just pray that over this time, over this next hour or two in this meeting, Lord, that you just begin to speak, that you begin to give us ideas, that you begin to give us strategies. Lord, that you would teach us how to govern in the way of heaven, not in the way of earth. Lord, and that we would set our minds on things that are above and not on things that are below. Lord, I pray that you would go before us, Lord, that you would establish things with wisdom, with insight, Lord, and that your holy presence would just lead us into this space. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the order of agenda. Will the commissioner make a motion?
I have a request to amend the order of agenda a few different ways. The first one is to move the airport's bid opening up to after adoption of the order of agenda. That's my motion to move.
That's the one motion you want to make right now?
Yeah, because...
Okay, I heard a couple of things.
I know, that's my first one.
That's your first one.
If I do it in a group, then it's too confusing.
Not that early.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Okay, second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any public comment? Board deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Valkey?
Yes. Motion passes.
Okay. The airport, second one is there's the item on the jail roof contract. There's a request for that to be an executive session. I don't see how that's an executive session. So my motion is to move this up to after, to on the regular agenda. This is just talking about the contract for the jail roof. So I will, if Sheriff wants to say what would let us go into executive, I'd consider that, but I can't see how I'd get there.
I could maybe have a moment with Nate. I can pare it down to basically what I mentioned last week, or we can make a decision based on that.
You guys would like to confer?
So before you do that, though, it's supposed to be that we do everything we can open, and then if we need to go in, then you call for it. So you wouldn't need to ask before if there's something you can say open. We say that open, and then if the deliberation continues and you feel like you need an executive, then you can do that, but it has to be for one of those exclusionary rules. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So based on that, my motion would be to move the confidential sheriff office jail roof item from executive session onto the regular agenda.
For item two under sheriff?
Yes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? Lighty.
Good lady spoke in. Yeah, I'm just concerned how much the sheriff tries to put under executive session. There's another thing called critical infrastructure there, which is pretty broad. And it seems the sheriff seems to want to operate under secret circumstances constantly, or how many times he tries to put things in executive session and the commission allows it. I do applaud Commissioner Williams for bringing the roof repair out of it. Thank you.
Any additional public comment? Or deliberation?
Yeah.
So I do want to make sure to clarify my understanding of intent. So if we're saying just the roof repair,
that's correct.
Okay, so then we're maintaining an executive session on the agenda for a critical infrastructure item, which I'm looking to the sheriff's office representatives to confirm that that is a separate and distinct item from the roof item?
It is, yes.
Thank you. Okay. Then that makes sense to me. I just wanted to be sure we weren't removing exec from the agenda if we still needed it potentially for something. So, okay. So just the roof repair is the motion on the table for item two. Okay. That helps me. Thank you. Does the board have anything else they would like to deliberate on? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes.
And so with respect to the third item that was there, I do have a question on this because it wasn't part of the regular budget to see. This looks like just entering a new contract. I know it says critical infrastructure, but I can't see the what makes it a critical other than just something happening at the sheriff. So I recognize that you might want to talk about something, but my request is the same, that as much as can be open should be open, and then we go into executive session on this one. So my request to the board is that we leave this particular item pending on executive session, but that we talk about it as much as you can openly, and then we go into executive session, because I tried to look to see where I've seen this before, and this looks completely new.
It's a
necessarily new, it's just a different vendor for a similar product.
Okay. So that's my request on that one. So, okay. So are you ready to adopt the order as amended?
Yes, unless you have something else.
I just wanted to comment on that one.
Nope. Okay.
Based on the information before us, I move to adopt the order of agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any public comment? More deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Horn?
Yes.
Commissioner Dahlke?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Motion passes. We have an adopted order of agenda as amended. Hopefully the board, like last time, can keep me on the straight and narrow if I misstep with our amended agenda.
We'll see.
So next is airports. Mr. Shook.
Thank you for your time. We have bid opening for the snow removal of Corpins Quarries building at Priest River Airport. We received bids for the construction of the snow removal equipment storage building at Priest River Airport. The bid should be open. The amounts read into the record, and the bids turned over to our engineering consultant for review, evaluation, and recommendation. There is a representative of our engineering consultant firm, Artura, in the audience today, Kirk Haas, and he will receive the bids after they have been read into the record, and he may be able to offer some assistance in finding the correct number in the bid to read into the record, because the bid paperwork is somewhat complicated. 95% of this project will be funded with a grant from the FAA AIP program. The AIP program is funded entirely by user fees in the form of taxes on aviation fuel and passenger fees on commercial airlines. Remaining 5% will be split between state funds and our county match. I recommend opening the bids.
Okay, does the board have any questions?
No.
Nope. The commissioner make a motion.
We are just opening the bids.
Well, we did already approve this bid opening. I guess we can make a motion after the bids are opened if we want to have those then evaluated, remanded for evaluation and recommendation. So the memo is a little bit. But we don't need a motion to open them because we already approved the bid opening advertisement.
So bid opening works that we all open the bids, we read the bids out loud, and then we remand those bids back to you.
So that's what I'm saying. We could do a motion after we open for the remand for the evaluation and recommendation of the bid award.
Okay.
From my perspective, that's more of our customary process.
That is,
it's versus kind of what we have in the memo right now. Okay. So. I believe the second page, if I understand correctly, and I'm going to. So I'm going to look to the engineering consultant just to confirm. It looks like there is schedule A, B, C, and D.
Yeah, a little further, about 4 more pages. There's a bid sheet that has the total as well. The summations.
I see. So after the intentionally left blank page, we have the bid schedules. Schedule A, Schedule B, Schedule C, Schedule D, a total base bid, and then the values with the alternate schedules. Is that what you'd like right into the record?
Yeah, the first four, and then the very bottom summation of all bid schedules.
Total base bid plus schedules A. So alternates B, C, and D, not A. Okay. have that in front of me. So the first four, A, B, C, and D, and then the sum total at the bottom, base bid plus three alternates.
Okay. So this bid is from Ardura. Schedule A base bid is $844,000. Schedule B additive alternate is $68,000. Schedule C additive alternate is $35,000. And Schedule D water service improvements is $8,000. Total base bid plus alternate B, C, and D is $955,000.
There should be a contractor on the front of the envelope. Ardura is the engineer on that.
Darden Enterprises Incorporated.
Okay, TML Construction, Schedule A, $946,336.09. Schedule B, $101,449.07. Schedule C, $27,557.36. Schedule D, $13,965.32. For a total base bid, alternate Schedule B, C, and D of $1,089,307.84.
Okay, our third and final bid is from Excavate number 8 LLC. So EXCAV number 8 LLC. Schedule A base bid in the amount of $653,000. Schedule B alternate in the amount of $45,000. Schedule C alternate in the amount of $20,000. Schedule D alternate in the amount of $10,000. Total base bid plus alternates Schedule B, C, and D in the amount of $728,000. That concludes the bid opening. Will the commissioner make a motion regarding the remand of bids?
Justice Services things that I have to scan through.
Sorry. We'll go fast.
I can read the motion if you like.
Sure.
We'll need to change it up a little bit, though.
You can go ahead.
Shake it up.
That too.
Based on the information before us, I move that Bonner County open these bids and turn them over to our engineering consultants for review, evaluation, and their recommendation. Three bids were opened and will be turned over, the lowest bid being $728,000.
I second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Or deliberation? Roll call vote, please. Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner
Ford? No.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you,
Director.
Dan.
Consent agenda. We have one item over $5,000 on the consent agenda. Related to solid waste and risk, this is an association with repairs needed to address wind damage that occurred during the windstorm on December 17th of 2025 at the Colburn Transfer Station site. So there was roof damage and also damage to the tipping floor area siding, along with drain downspout needing to be removed, and then some general repairs. And this is an estimated cost in the amount of $25,000.
So does this fall under our insurance at all?
Yes.
Could you please come up to the microphone now?
Bob Howard, Director of Solid Waste for the record. Two of the projects for wind damage are under the insurance. The $5,080 one is going to be out of our budget because that's just the roofing repair that's not included in insurance. We just did it under one contract because we need a contractor for everything.
Okay, thank you.
To clarify, does the board have any additional questions? Will the commissioner, did you say something?
Yeah.
Okay, will the commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? Board deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Rumpke?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda, we have the Priest Lake EMS grant letter endorsement request. I did verify with the BOCC staff that we do not have a representative of Priest Lake EMTs to present this. So I can read this. We can go from there. Priest Lake EMS is requesting support for Priest Lake EMTs, Inc. and their grant request to acquire a new quick response unit, QRU, through the FY 2027 EMS SAVE grant. Priest Lake EMTs provide critical emergency medical services across the Priest Lake, Kulin, and Nordman areas that includes highways, rural residences, remote backcountry terrain, and waterways. The quick response unit plays an essential role in the delivering specialized equipment to scenes where time and access are critical factors. The current QRU, which has been in service since approximately 1999, has exceeded its intended lifespan and no longer reliably meets the operational demands placed upon it. Replacement vehicle is vital to ensure safe and dependable response capabilities. As the current QRU does, a new QRU will carry extrication equipment, backcountry rescue gear, and ice rescue equipment. A modern, reliable, quick response unit will ensure Priest Lake EMTs can continue providing the high level of service our community depends upon.
We don't have any representation here today.
We don't, and I don't have any additional information that's been provided to me, so I'm unable to answer any questions with additional information. I only know what's been presented in the memo.
Is this just a support letter, or is it a pass-through funds, or does it come with any liability to the county? We don't know that.
So I've got legal questions. That's why he had you sit up front. He tricked you. Because the ambulance district exists. And so this, if they're wanting, sometimes it's a pass-through grant where the ambulance district would request it and then they give it to them. This is not clear to me if it's really just a letter of support, which I question us doing it on this board versus the other board, because I'm not opposed to what they're asking for. It's the process that I question if it's correct, because typically, and an example to use, when we wanted AEDs out at our community centers, even though the county was supportive of that, we got grants through either Bob Howard or the ambulance district did it, and then they give it to the group. This one, I'm not sure on because there's not enough information provided. Do you know the answer? Because it shows it wasn't reviewed by legal either. And that's my question is, not doing it. It's if they're asking us correctly.
Nate Adams from the Bonner County Prosecutor's Office. That is a good question. I don't know what the county's involvement would be with Priest Lake Ambulance District, since that is a separate taxing district. No.
We do have a relationship. We give them like $40,000 a year. We do have a relationship with them, but they go through the ambulance district.
Okay.
They go through West.
There's a distinction between having a relate or a relationship with and being a part of the county. So we have a relationship with Bonner County Ambulance District as well, but they are a separate task.
Which, you're right, that's what's giving me my questions as to, is this the right way for it to come to us? So, and I believe this happened with Clark Fork when Clark Fork was looking for something, they go to the ambulance district and ask them. That's what my memory serves. So I have a question on the process.
That is a great question, and the definitive answer I have is I don't know.
You're the one caught off guard because they're not here. So
right. So those are excellent questions to ask, and they do need to be answered. I don't have those answers. So if they are a separate taxing district, then the question is, what involvement does the county have? If we accept the grant funds, and then we give it to the Priest Lake Ambulance District, are we incurring responsibilities that we shouldn't be taking on? That's a good
question. They're not specific on letter of support. They want support, which is generic when you're so anyhow.
Yes. So I think your questions are good, and I think those are definite, need to be answered. I just don't have those answers.
Okay.
That's fair. I don't know that it's problematic because we're not having a representative of the Bonner County Ambulance Service District here to let us know. I don't know if supporting this grant request would somehow mean that it's in opposition or parallel with some other grant that Bonner County EMS or another EMS entity within Bonner County is pursuing, and then weighing which one we think is the most important if there is, that parallel request going out. I just don't have enough information to know if that could be the case. So. So is it the board's prerogative to not make a motion on this agenda item at this time?
I'm comfortable with that.
I'm okay to make a motion to ask them to bring it back with a representative after we get some information. I just don't feel this is enough to know the process on this particular item.
Okay.
So, based on the information before us, I move to request the letter of endorsement request for a Priest Lake EMT EMSAVE grant application to be brought back to the next business meeting with a representative to explain the request and for us to get a legal review of the process.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item?
Wayne Martin, Bonner County resident. I appreciate that you do that. I would also ask that Bonner County Ambulance District also have a representative here to at least listen in, whether it's on Zoom or in person, so that they're aware of, as was said, if there are any conflicts on that ground, what's going on. And I think it's smart for the money to be going, for the grants to go through Bonner County Ambulance Service District, and then from there be brought to you folks during their meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment on this agenda item? Or deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Corn?
Yes.
Commissioner Donkey?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Motion passes. Justice Services.
Wasn't sure where I was at on the agenda. The last two times I've been here, you jumped me around.
You are the agenda.
Well, I save things up, so when I get here, I don't have to come every week. I can just get it all out of the
efficiency.
All taken care of. So first item I have, most of these are destruction of records requests. First item is Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center holds temporary records for the years 2023 and older, which have been reviewed by myself and legal, and deemed inactive files needing to be retained not less than 2 years. These records include wild stints for work in lieu of detention and wild sign-up sheets. Idaho Code 31871C authorizes the destruction of temporary records after a retention period of not less than 2 years.
Does the board have any questions?
I don't.
Will Commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move resolution number to be assigned ordering the destruction of Bonner County Juvenile Detention Facility temporary records as described above, held by the Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center for the years ending 2023 or older, pursuant to Idaho Code 31-871C as approved by legal.
I second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Or deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Corn?
Yes.
Commissioner
Donkey?
Yes.
Commissioner
Williams?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Second item. Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center currently holds permanent records for the years 2015 and older, which have been reviewed by myself and legal, and deemed inactive files needing to be retained not less than 10 years. These records include incident reports. Idaho Code Section 31871 authorizes the destruction of permanent records after a retention period of not less than 10 years.
Board, have any questions?
No.
Will Commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move resolution number to be assigned ordering the destruction of Bonner County Juvenile Detention Facility permanent records as described above, held by the Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center for the years 2015 and older, pursuant to Idaho Code Section 31871C, as approved by legal.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on this agenda item. Any public comment or deliberation?
Insert to approve resolution number.
Gotcha. Yep. Good catch. Okay, so we.
I'll second that.
We already have a motion on the table. So do we want to vote that down?
You don't have to go back for it. It's fine.
All right. Could you state the clarification?
So the clarification in the record is to add to approve.
It was I move resolution, so I move to approve resolution number to be assigned. Thank you.
Yes.
Second, is it still seconded?
Yes.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Donkey?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Corn?
Yes.
Motion passes. Item three.
Item three, Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center currently holds, and this should say temporary records here. It says temporary records down below, but it should have been, and then the next three it actually didn't. It says permanent when they should be temporary because of the length of the retention time. Anyway, I'll continue on, and then I guess if we need to do something more formal to correct that, then we can. But currently holds permanent records, which should be temporary, for the years 2023 and older, which have been reviewed by myself and legal and deemed inactive files to be retained not less than 2 years. These records include shift summaries, cell locations, search reports, transport sheets, transport logs, guest registries, handwritten logs, cash logs, grievance reports, fire drill reports, maintenance reports, and fleet reports. And these are temporary records.
Have any questions?
I don't.
So, Director, I'm looking at the memo and the proposed motion. I see where it says temporary records in the summary and in the motion. Was there a place other than that?
In that very first sentence in the main body of it, it says
permanent in the first sentence. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
and then later it says temporary.
Yeah, they got overlooked there. Okay. And it's actually that way in the next three.
Okay, and then this motion, the proposed motion also is missing the to approve.
Is there anything else we want in the motion besides to approve?
I think we should get all new. Like, these look like they're filled in. So, like, it has an auditing review note that says verifying auditing, the fund, that the funds are there to cover this item or within the budget is required for an expenditure, that there's an email attached. I think this form needs to be, like, maybe we can just fix the form.
Are we not using the form that we're not? Okay.
Well I'm not sure why.
Lisa just said we're not using the correct form. Okay. We're corrected going forward after today.
Okay.
I think to the commissioner's point, it's the note under the auditing review is not applicable in this type of situation.
It's not, no. Yeah, we're not asking for any budget authorization or anything along those lines.
Yeah, and it says there's an email that we should be looking for, so we can fix it after.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get that corrected on our end going forward.
Commissioner, make a motion.
Sure. Based on the information before us, I move to approve resolution number to be assigned, ordering the destruction of Bonner County Juvenile Detention Facility temporary records as described above, held by the Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center for the years 2023 and older, pursuant to Idaho Code Section 31-871C, approved by legal.
Second motion.
Motion and second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation?
None.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Horn?
Yes.
Mr. Donkey?
Yes. Motion passes. Number four.
Number four. Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center currently holds permanent records, but again, that should be temporary records for the years 2022 and older, which have been reviewed by myself and legal and deemed inactive files needing to be retained not less than 3 years. These records include school lunch program records under Idaho Code 31871, authorizes the destruction of those records.
Does the board have any questions?
I don't.
Commissioner, make a motion.
Based on the information before us, I move to approve resolution number to be assigned, ordering the destruction of Bonner County Juvenile Detention Facility temporary records as described above, held by Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center for the years 2022 and older, pursuant to Idaho Code Section 31-871C, as approved by legal.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on this agenda item. Any public comment? Or deliberation?
None.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Horn?
Yes.
Commissioner
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Passes. Number five.
Last records destruction one. Then we get really exciting with the final one. Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center currently holds permanent, which should be temporary, records for juveniles with dates of birth from 2005 and older, which have been reviewed by myself and legal and deemed inactive files needing to be retained not less than 2 years after their 18th birthday. These records include booking sheets, court documents, PTA forms, police reports, medical screenings, medical requests, doctor's orders, and medication orders. Idaho Code authorizes that they only be retained for less than 2 years, for a period of 2 years.
Does the board have any questions?
I don't.
No. Will the commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to approve resolution number to be assigned, ordering the destruction of Bonner County Juvenile Detention Facility temporary records as described above, held by the Bonner County Juvenile Detention Center for juveniles with date of birth from 2005 and older, pursuant to Idaho Code Section 31-871C, as approved by legal.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation?
None.
Roll call vote, please. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Item six.
All right. Final item. This is a professional services agreement with Secure Court Solutions. It is recommended that the Board of County Commissioners approve the Secure Court Solutions agreement for services for the management of Bonner County Justice Services, SCRAM, and GPS monitoring devices as previously approved by legal. This is the same contract we've had in place for the last probably 10 years. The only thing that has changed is they have changed their pricing, and that's a price that is not, it's not our cost that we're spending, except for in a few cases in juvenile matters. This is the cost that is charged to the clients that are wearing these particular devices. Just for clarification, SCRAM is the alcohol device. It's affixed to the ankle and transdermally can detect whether there's someone's been drinking alcohol or not. And then the GPS is pretty self-explanatory. It's just a tracking unit that we can place on offenders.
Or a cell phone.
What's that?
I'm sorry. Does the board have any appropriate questions? I mean, does the board have any questions? I don't.
Director, even though the cost is passed on to the user,
yes,
in this case, is this something that we, are there options that we looked at if the cost is reasonable, if there are?
Yeah, it's reasonable. There's really not any other, anybody else in the area that provides these services.
So they have limited options.
Short of purchasing them ourselves, and they're very costly, and then you also have the monitoring on top of that, which adds an extra layer of liability because now you're the one that's monitoring. They not only, we affix the units, but they monitor the units and supply the units. And so.
And they do the maintenance on the units.
Yeah, we just put them on. If there's a problem, we take it off, send it back to them, and we have a replacement to put back on the offender.
Any additional questions? Will Commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to approve resolution number to be assigned. Bonner County Board of County Commissioners approve the Secure Court Solutions Professional Service Agreement as previously approved by legal.
Okay. So there's an updated motion. If you like, I can read that.
It's not in the packet.
It's the one that I caught after.
Okay, that's all right. So then you go ahead and read it.
Based on the information before us, I move that the Board of County Commissioners approve the Secure Court Solutions Professional Services Agreement as previously approved by legal.
I second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation?
None.
Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Corn?
Yes.
Mr. Donkey?
Yes. Motion passes.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Director.
Thank you.
On to risk management.
See you, Rob.
Good morning, Commissioners. Christian Jocelyn, risk manager for the record. I have before you just a contract renewal. The original Safety Plus contract was signed by the board December of 2024. The Safety Plus contract is contracted through 12-2 of 26, so it's a two-year, basically a price guarantee, same price. And then based on the rules, we need to renew all contracts annually. So this is all the same pricing and agreement you can see on the following pages. Just to renew all.
Does the board have any questions?
I do. Can you give some metrics on how this was utilized? Because I have questions as to whether or not Bonner County actually utilized Safety Plus. So can you give some metrics on that? Because I think that was, when we made this switch, that was one of the issues, was we kind of exhausted what that platform, the known to be known or whatever that one was. Was this used and utilized? What are your numbers on this?
I have the numbers in front of me, but the one before, the no before, is the IT one. Ours is called ThinkZoom. Yeah, exactly, EJ4. And that one was, we had used, I think, 5+ years, but we kind of tapped out all of the resources, so a lot of repeated classes, so it was requested to change it. Safety Plus is similar, but also has incident reporting, because we're moving away from Google, so we're going to lose all our incident forms pretty soon. And it has safety-focused training also and customized content. So I don't have the report in front of me of usage. This is tied in. Every year we have department heads do a safety plan and an HR plan for training. And this is kind of tied into it where they can document their training. My thinking is it's probably not used to the potential.
I feel like this rolled out slow, and I feel like there's not enough usage of it. And yeah. I don't like just renewing because we need to have a training software. For me, I had some questions on this because we didn't. I don't know that this really got used. I know it was less than what we were doing before. I would like to see the numbers on usage of it because it felt like for what the people that were putting something in, that it didn't need a platform. We had talked about uploading trainings and different things that did not happen, and we're paying $10,000 to do it. So I'd like to see some data on it.
I would agree with you, yeah. It's underused that way.
Do you use this to onboard new employees?
No, currently we're just doing an in-person training. In the old days, we had the whole classroom thing with different speakers, but we're not using the Safety Plus for that yet. This is more for existing employees, and I agree. I don't know how much is being used right now, but for onboarding, it's all in-person. I do a class, and HR does their presentations, but it's not like the old days.
That was one of the differences was when the original, that prior contract came up, and when you looked at how much we were paying, then some of the questions were, what is human resources doing with respect to onboarding? There's a greater personal engagement if they would do the training, and HR agreed that that was something that they could do. And so when HR took over the onboarding, and then you looked at what we would use this platform for, this does not look like we used it for what the vote was for. And I don't want to just renew because we did it before. That's my position.
Yep.
But I think I heard you say you would agree that it's not being utilized. So do you guys want, like, I'm okay moving it to a motion, but I would like to see the data of what we did with this versus just renewing it for me. Because it equally doesn't meet, when I've messed with Safety Plus to see if it would address some risk management software questions that we've had, and it doesn't really do that because it's not a firewall for putting in risk claims. And so, anyhow.
I don't even know if we need to make a motion on it, personally. If you want to bring back numbers, or if you want to bring it back next Tuesday or in a couple weeks with numbers, if you feel that it is something that the county should do and utilize, otherwise.
Can I ask a question? So if I analyze and evaluate that it's not necessary, do I need to bring it back to kill it, or I can just let it expire out? What's the thoughts?
You're not going to renew it.
Just don't renew it? What's the need thought? Is that a board decision? Because they authorized the start of it. Can I just, if I decide not to bring it back, do I need a board decision to stop a contract? Or it's not really stopping
a contract. Your contract will expire, but the problem you have from a risk standpoint is this: the reason this platform was purchased was to address the ongoing need for training. So you can't just let it expire. You have to bring back a solution to address what this was, that this needed, what needed to occur.
Sure.
So it's not, you're asking us to approve something which you're not getting. You then have to bring forward a solution for that. I think, to be honest, I think you should bring it back, if only for an update of what did we do with this. Not just letting it go by the wayside, because I think it gives us an opportunity to hear the metrics of what it was used for and then give direction of what should he look for, because in part, we got a lot of input from directors and electeds of, you know, this is what I'd like my group to get trained on. I don't know that that actually occurred, and I think we need to address those needs, not just saying yes or no.
And we have basically three prongs that it does mainly. One is the training. It can be custom content. And that one, just top of my head, I think maybe 8 to 10 different department heads turned in their safety plans as requested last December for the next year. And those were uploaded here. I don't know how much is being used for that. The other prong is claims management. I'm still using the old system. I haven't moved into the system yet for claims management. And the third prong is training, claims. Oh, yeah, incident reporting. And I'm still using the Google-based system, basically. So it's not renewing will not hurt that yet. I have not transitioned over to the new reporting system as it can act. You can report claims quickly. But there are alternatives to using that.
I would like a utilization report as well.
Okay.
And I would like a recommendation of how you believe each of those necessary functions would best be completed, whether it's utilizing tools we already have or if you think investing in a new or different tool would be the most effective.
Sure.
But at this point, it sounds like there was intent without a lot of follow-through. So to understand what are the needs that we have and then how best should we try to accomplish those tasks. Maybe this is not the right tool to do it, or if it is, we need to choose to implement it and not just pay for it and let it lie unutilized. So.
I have a concern that I want you to address, though. Sometimes contracts go that, like, we are set up for automatic renewal with a period that we can cancel it to address our annual need as a board. We need to confirm that that's not how this contract was set up, because they can, some of them are set to address the technical aspect of the board so that it doesn't renew without us actually wanting it to renew.
I can work with your legal to verify. I say get the answers. My belief is that we're not tied in for the 2 year because we're only allowed to tie in 1 year contracts and the first year has expired. So I'll verify with Nate, your legal.
Sounds good.
Would you like to make a motion?
I would, actually. I would like to say, based on the information before us, I move that risk management bring back safety plus contract with data metrics showing utilization along with alternative options to address the needs of Bonner County within the next 3 weeks.
Sounds good.
Seven to five?
Yep.
I'll second that.
And just to make sure, it'll be my opinion, but you don't want me to reach out to the elected department heads for their opinion, right? Just in-house, I can do analysis.
We've already done that part of it when they did this.
Sounds good.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Or deliberation?
Yeah.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Torrance?
Yes.
Commissioner Dahlke?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Motion passes. On airports. Weeds. Noxious weeds.
Chase Youngdahl here, Bonner County Noxious Weeds Director. This agenda item is a facilities agreement with the University of Idaho for the use of their large meeting space at the Sandpoint Organic Ag Center. We use this to host our annual spring seminar for noxious weed ID and control. Landowner education, as well as pesticide license accreditation for local and area applicators. I've got the $220 facility rental fee baked into the education line item in my budget, and it's an agreement that's just valid for 1 day. It sunsets at the conclusion of the event. So, take it away.
And that fee is $220?
That's right.
Does the board have any additional questions? This is significantly similar to last year's event and agreement.
That's right.
Will the commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to approve the University of Idaho's facilities agreement for the Noxious Weeds Department use of Sandpoint Organic Agricultural Center, valid for the date of May 6, 2026, and authorize the chair to sign administratively.
I second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner Horn?
Yes.
Commissioner Dahlke?
Yes. Motion passes.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Clerk Rosedale.
Morning, Commissioners. Morning, everybody. This is Mike Rosedale, Bonner County Clerk, for the record. For you, I have claims batch number 25 totaling $160,591.87 for your approval. It's a small amount, but don't worry. Next week, it'll get bigger. The big ticket items on this are solid waste totaling $53,000. We have a hazardous waste, household hazardous waste bill of $16,000, contracted labor of $35,000 in there. And then Justice Buildings and Repair Maintenance, $14,000. We have Jail Detention at about $8,000. We have the Jail Food at about $15,000. And that's it for the claims. Big items.
Board, have any questions?
No.
Will the Commissioner make a motion?
Based on information before us, I move to approve payment of FY26 claims batch number 25, totaling $160,591.87.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Corn?
Yes.
Mr. Duncan?
Yes.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Commissioners. Then finally, I have demand batch 25 totaling $50,576.74 for your approval, and that is for our Regents bill.
Does the board have any questions?
I don't.
Will the Commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to approve payment of the FY26 demands of batch number 25 totaling $50,576.74.
I second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation? None. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Duncan?
Yes.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Horn?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. On to the Treasurer. Mr. Patterson, I'm sorry. I just was informed that I missed the fact you had a hand up there. So if you'd like to make a comment when we come back to public comment later on the agenda, I'll be sure to call on you. I'm sorry about that. Yes, Treasurer.
Good morning. Clarissa Coster, Bonner County Treasurer, for the record. First item is I am requesting that the Board of County Commissioners accept the Bonner County Treasurer Auditor Joint Quarterly Report for FY 2025 fourth quarter ending 9/30/2025. The ending balance for Bonner County is $49,569,137.72.
Does the board have any questions?
I don't.
Treasurer Costers, just as I always ask, did you identify any anomalies, discrepancies, anything out of the ordinary?
On the fourth quarter, no. Everything looks to be in check, like, you know, where we would expect things to be at the fourth quarter. One thing to remember, too, on these quarterly reports, mostly for the public, is when I say Bonner County's balance is $49 million, all those funds aren't necessarily ours. We are a pass-through. We have money that we have to hold because of district court rulings, things of that nature. Also, depending on where we're at as far as tax collection, like we may have deposited a whole tax collection, but we haven't necessarily paid it out yet. So sometimes it's a timing issue. But I just don't want everybody to think Bonner County has $49 million because it's not all of ours, and that's noted in the reports.
Constant moving target.
It is a constant moving target, yes.
Thank you. Does the board have any additional questions? Commissioner, would you like to make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to accept the County Treasurer Audit Joint Quarterly Report for FY 2025, fourth quarter ending 9/30/2025. The ending balance for Bonner County is $49,569,137.72.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation. Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Ford?
Yes.
Mr. Duncan?
Yes. Motion passes. Item two.
Okay, item two is I am requesting that the Board of County Commissioners accept the Bonner County Treasurer Auditor Joint Quarterly Report for FY 2026, first quarter ending 12/31/2025. The ending balance for Bonner County is $37,864,903.08. On this one, I did want to just mention, and I had already spoke to auditing about this, so our grant balance has been in the negative for a little bit. Like, if I look right now, we were up around $300,000 in the negative. So I did reach out to Jessica. There is a timing issue with grants. Sometimes we have to front pay something and then we expect the reimbursement back or the grant to be funded. I was concerned, mostly making sure that, one, we weren't paying things out of the grant fund that weren't going to be reimbursed. It doesn't sound like that's the case based off of information that Jessica gave. It's just something to watch that we don't get too far ahead, because then it causes a strain on the overall cash balance. So it's being watched. It's just a timing issue, making sure we get the grants that we have been told we're awarded for, or even departments that may be paying salaries from grants, that those grants are still going to come.
Appreciate the clarification on that, and that certainly falls in line with some prior conversations about with upcoming budgets, trying to identify at least quarters in which we anticipate cash flow to happen in these areas.
Yeah,
so that you
definitely.
Have a
better
idea of what to expect.
Yeah, so we don't get caught in like situations. I mean, every department has their busy time, like Road and Bridge, it's always in the summer. Just that cash doesn't get drained down to a dangerous point, because then it kind of pulls cash from other departments just doing their normal spending. Because Bonner County's all under one cash. So.
And then it limits your options of how you're trying to place funds in order to earn interest in other things temporarily.
I mean, and I watch these too, to, you know, like not investing things or tying things up for too long, but also the whole point behind investing is interest that we receive helps offset property taxes, which is a good thing to have happen. So, yes.
I had a question on this one, because I wasn't sure, as we look at funding that has come through, where we're thinking we're going to get funding, not in terms of specific county, but the state, and then funding is pulled as we go through session. Do we need to look at giving a little bit more of a leeway on receiving funds so that we don't draw down the cash? What does watching mean? Is a plan being put in place to address that? And I know that might be more auditor than you, but I knew that this would be one of yours, because we always talk about cash balance. So what does that mean?
So when I say I'm watching something, like basically I'm watching to make sure there's enough cash in the bank to cover what we're paying. As far as pinpointing like expenses, revenue coming in, that is more auditing.
Okay.
Because that's not something, we have the segregation of duties. That's more the auditing side. I'm just making sure there's enough money in the bank.
Yours is that, and you're triggering the alert on that. I wasn't sure if they gave you that answer.
Yeah, and if I see something, you know, I'll mention it, like, you know, maybe the assessor is getting a little low. What kind of expenses does he have coming up based on when the next tax tranche might come in?
Okay.
So those are, when I say I'm watching, that's what I'm watching. I'm not watching the overall expenses, when those revenues are budgeted to come in, nothing like that. That's more Mike's office.
Okay. So I can send an email to the clerk's office with those. I figured you might say that.
Yeah.
So I'll send an email to the auditor's office. Thank you.
Clerk Rosedale, anything you'd like to add?
Yes. Thank you, Mike Rosedale, Bonner County Clerk. And I will put my mouth right on those. Buzz. So that's the blessing and the curse of grants, the fact that we always have to front the money, and then we get reimbursed. So the coach is right. We want to make sure that whoever's managing the grant, whether it's airports, whatever, that they're paying only grant costs with grant funds. We do front with the general fund, and we still have a huge amount in the general fund, so we're not close to the wire that way. But that is a problem. We do run negative. We didn't for a while when we actually had the COVID stuff we could freeload, and so it did. We never felt it that way. We were using it for salaries and benefits and all that kind of stuff. But now, since we're through with that, we do go negative again. So that's one thing we have to watch out for. So, but it is a good deal. I mean, the bigger thing is match. We have to have the match budgeted for. And then what we do is we budget $3 million for a grant. That is a ceremonial thing so that we don't have to reopen the budget when we actually do grants. But we don't actually put money in or levy money for them. that's just a placeholder position so that when we do run grants, they have a spot to run. That's
right. Any additional board questions? Will Commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to accept Bonner County as Treasurer Auditor Joint Quarterly Report of FY 2026, first quarter ending 12/31/2025. Ending balance of Bonner County is $37,864,903.08.
I second the motion.
Motion and a second on the table. Do we have any public comment on this agenda item? Or deliberation? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner
Clark? Yes.
Commissioner Donkey?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have the assessor.
Good morning, commissioners and attendees. Dennis Engelhardt, assessor for Bonner County. I have one thing for you this morning. In your package, you should see a memorandum, a resolution, a copy of an agreement, and then emails indicating review and approval from risk, legal, and the auditor's office. The purpose of the memorandum is to request the board approval to enter into a one-year agreement with Value Base at an annual cost of $29,000 to enhance the accuracy, transparency, and uniformity of property assessments within Bonner County. Funding is requested from unanticipated revenue generated from the sale of assessor office vehicles. For background, Bonner County currently maintains approximately 45,000 parcels with statutory requirements under Idaho law mandating annual revaluation and systematic property review. The assessor's office employs 10 residential appraisers, 3 commercial appraisers, who are responsible for maintaining equitable and defendable values. I'll go off script here a little bit, general information for the community and the commissioners. We have been experiencing approximately a 2% increase in parcels in the county over the last several years. That equates to approximately a $2 billion increase each year in total value for the county. Continuing on, while our existing CAMA system provides foundational functionality, our modeling capabilities remain limited. Increasing parcel complexity, market volatility, and public scrutiny require more advanced analytical tools to improve mass appraisal model precision, enhance racial study performance, strengthen defensibility during appeals, increase efficiency in field review prioritization, and support transparency in evaluation methodologies. ValueBase is designed specifically to integrate with existing CAMA systems and support, not replace, professional appraisers. The system provides advanced modeling analytics, anomaly detection, structural valuation support tools, while preserving human oversight and decision-making authority. Benefits to the assessor in Bonner County: 1, improve assessment equity, more consistent application of valuation models across neighborhoods and property types. 2, enhance defensibility, clear modeling documentation and analytical strengthen board of equalization and court presentations. 3, operational efficiency, data-driven prioritization allows staff to allocate limited resources more effectively, particularly in meeting our annual 20% review requirement. Transparency: the platform produces report outputs that support public understanding and confidence. And finally, fiscal responsibility: the use of a one-time vehicle sale revenue avoids impact on the current operating budget. Fiscal impact: annual agreement cost is $29,000. Funding source would be 020-7860 miscellaneous. It's unanticipated revenue from the sale of assessor office vehicles. Ongoing 2026 budget impact: none to the general fund if the one-time payment is funded from the designated unanticipated revenue. Did we assign a resolution number to this?
It'll be after.
After, okay, all right. So in reading the resolution of the Board of the County Commissioners of Bonner County, Idaho, authorizing a budget adjustment to the assessor's fund for the unanticipated revenue and associated expenditures. Whereas Idaho Code 31-1605 allows the Board of County Commissioners to adjust the budget to reflect unanticipated revenue received by the county, and whereas Bonner County has received unanticipated revenue in the assessor's fund from the sale of surplus vehicles, and whereas said revenue was not included in the fiscal year 2026 budget, and whereas it is necessary to increase the assessor's fund budget to recognize this revenue and authorize related expenditures. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of County Commissioners of Bonner County, Idaho, hereby authorize the following budget adjustments. Revenue: increase assessor's fund revenue in the amount of $29,000 to reflect proceeds from the sale of vehicles. Expenditure: increase the following line item: 020-7860 miscellaneous expenditures in the amount of $29,000. Be it further resolved that the clerk is hereby authorized to make the necessary entries to implement this budget adjustment this date and time. That's all I got. Thank you.
Does the board have any questions?
I do. Will this be something that the public can come into your office and use to look at their assessment?
They will not be able to get into the system. No, none of our systems are set up to allow public to access, except for our ProVal. We do up front allow them to go in and they can search the property and see what square footage we have it at and those types of information. But this is proprietary software, and as part of the agreement, we agreed not to expose its inner workings and such.
So the public doesn't get the report that Valdez sets out?
Yes, if that's your question, the reports that we run will actually help the community in understanding why their particular property was assessed at that particular.
So the public will receive the report from Valdez?
They will, as part of their inquiry, yes.
So if I were to come in and ask what Valdez said, would you guys run a report and give that report to the public?
Yes, what we could do is, and it actually puts us in a better position of giving you more information, because part of the system is set up to identify 50 plus cost modifiers, if you will, so that when you come in, and you all know, having sat in Board of Equalization area, it's not always my price is too high. It's sometimes either the principal or a secondary concern by the property owner that it wasn't done equitably. You compared my house to this house, but they have tile and I don't have tile, or they have this or that. Well, what this does is allows the appraiser to query the system, and so that you have your subject property, and then we get comps as close as possible to that particular piece of property, and that type of information would be available. Yes.
The board have additional questions?
And so this will be an ongoing thing if you choose to keep it.
Yes, we've asked for a one-year contract so that we can, if you will, test drive it. They are presently working in 40 jurisdictions across the United States and Canada. They have one other in Idaho at present. I think they have two or three other counties that are looking at it as well. Blaine County has been using it for a while. They're going into their second year. I contacted them, talked to them. Not only the administration, but I talked to the staff that actually use it every day to see if it really is of a benefit. And it has proven to be a benefit, particularly in the area of comp findings, that is, finding properties that are more specifically matching the subject properties. And also their appeal package, putting their appeal packages together.
Does that address or have you looking at properties that are farther away from the subject property?
We would look, the query would be for the county, yeah. So, and then The other thing about this, so
can I clarify what I'm asking? Yeah. A specific question.
Sure, so go ahead.
Your property is in Sandpoint. Is mm-hmm. it going to compare a property that is farther away from Sandpoint because you have a system that will capture
it, other? It could, points? but the thing about it is, so we do an inquiry about a subject property. The system comes up in 5 seconds with 15 properties all across the county. Well, then you have your human appraiser there looking at them and say, well, this one's too far out, that one's too far out. And they can reject any of them or all of them and ask for, narrow their search. So the answer to your question is we would get all, but then the appraiser themselves can select which ones would be more appropriate. Does that answer your question?
It does answer my question. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Assessor, this is me. There's a lot of good information, a lot of detail in the memo, which I appreciate. So if I try to condense this down to when I'm sitting on the Board of Equalization, what I'm hearing is you believe that this software would provide more and or better comparable properties so that when someone says, I don't think I've been appraised correctly, mm-hmm. the Board of Equalization has better information to evaluate, to make a decision, to determine whether or not they think a value should be adjusted. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. And to the appellant would have more information. If they come in on an appeal, as you know, I think last year we got 2,400 inquiries. The staff, they were able to boil that down to about 130 that actually filed. With this, we'll have even more information to give to the appellant and so they know why their property was assessed in the manner it was.
Sure. It may be possible it would reduce the number of
potentially
appeals if someone who has a concern feels that it's been adequately addressed.
Potentially. Yeah, almost everything we do is statute driven. Our biggest responsibility, as far as I'm concerned as the assessor, is to do things fair and equitably across the county. Treat like properties like, and this is a tool that will assist in that.
Any additional questions from the board?
I have a technical question. So when sure. we did the vehicle purchase, I thought that in part your vehicle sale was going to supplement the vehicle purchase. And this one is saying that it's unanticipated and it's going to go for this. When
it went into the unanticipated revenue fund, and that's where it sits.
No, I know where the money sits now. I'm saying when the board voted on the assessor's office purchasing new vehicles, I thought that the vote was also addressing that we were going to sell vehicles and that was going to help supplement the purchase. That was my only question, is the way this is worded, it doesn't address that. I thought that's what you brought forward when you brought the purchase and the number of leases that you did.
Well, I have to admit, I don't remember exactly what the wording was.
And the reason I say that is if because part of the argument is if the $29,000 from the sale goes for this, then it doesn't come out. But if that's what we did when we set the budget for the lease, then we would need to address how you were going to fund this in a different way. And that's I believe we had that conversation on leasing a vehicle.
Okay, so the sale brought in roughly $43,000 or $44,000. So this would be portion of that. And as far as as far as the lease is concerned, I don't think it hasn't been applied to the lease. But I understand your question, but I don't have an answer to it.
So, okay, thank you.
Assessor, given that question, and I wasn't on the board at that time for that decision, so I think it's a good question to get answered just so we understand if there was an understanding or an agreement made at that time from a financial perspective. But sorry, I lost my train of thought. Is there a time frame right now on the software agreement? If time was needed to go and verify whether or not vehicle lease agreements were bound by some prior board decision with regard to
the budget is this, how time sensitive is the software purchase agreement?
Well, we want to get it, start implementing now. We're talking about a three-phase, 8-week implementation phase. So we want to get that in as quickly as possible. Right now, the appraisers are going through their racial studies. They're all in a room with their computers, all with the sales and all that other stuff, establishing ratios for the different neighborhoods. So it won't help us this year on those racial studies. It probably would help us going into the appeals process, which is several months down the road.
So if the budget question could be answered over the coming week and this brought back next week, does that seem problematic?
I could bring it back next week, yeah.
That would be my preference, if you're agreeable to just
I'll bring it back next week.
Today and bring it back next week with that question answered about the budget. I think that would be beneficial.
I'd like to suggest a different route, just because I hate bringing things back, is that you can make a motion that addresses answering that question before it's implemented so that it doesn't have to come back if that clears. And that's how I've said at other meetings, because bringing it back delays progress versus if he were to research that answer and get that done and the board already voted on this issue, that he doesn't have to come back, they can move forward. Because the question, I believe, needs to be answered, but I equally, if I can see a path to not have a delay, I'd like to consider that option.
Yeah, if you'd like to make a contingent motion. Please proceed.
Based on the information before us, I move that the Board of Commissioners approve execution of a one-year agreement with Value Base in the amount of $29,000 after confirmation is received that the unanticipated vehicle sale revenue located in 0207860 was not already earmarked for another, for the lease of the vehicles that were already purchased.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item?
Mike Rosedale, Bonner County Clerk. Since I've been here almost 12 years, the one problem or argument or disdain people have had with the assessor's office has not been that they're not trying. It's been that they feel like the comps haven't been accurate or they're not equal or equitable, that kind of thing. In my mind, this is a fantastic tool so that everybody, I know that the assessor's not trying to jack up anybody's rate or drop anybody's. He's trying to get it as even as possible. I think this is going from using a rough slide rule to a calculator. And the data everybody will have will be far more precise and far better achieve what it is he's trying to accomplish. So if not now, then in next year's budget. But I think it's a fantastic tool.
And anyone who's not familiar with the slide rule can contact Clerk Rosedale directly. Just because I can answer that question,
but I'd rather not.
I have lots of them.
Which size do you want?
Wayne Martin, Bonner County resident. First would be, are aerial views of properties utilized in any of the calculations and all?
As part of the assessment? Yeah, we contract with Eagle View, which helps build our GIS database, and those are used to take measurements of buildings and such, particularly in those areas or those 20% properties that we're required by law to review or visit every year. As you know, when I got here, I implemented a zero trespass policy, and we ask people for written permission before we go on. We get about 40 to 60% of the people responding favorably, depending on what part of the county we're in. And those that we don't get those, we still have the obligation to take a closer look at those buildings and properties, and we do use Eagleville for that.
Is that able to be implemented in this program?
This program can look at that too to help establish like properties or like comps.
And then when you're able to do comps, and you brought up tile floors versus another type of flooring, how are you able to know what's inside a building or improvements, and not just the property size and the building.
My apologies. I should have said tile roofs instead of tile floor. We do not go inside. We don't use that as part of our assessment process.
Thank you.
Amy Lunsford.
Amy Lunsford for the record. So when the assessor first started the Eagle Vision, I was opposed to it. I feel as if this software is just another way for them to spy on the Bonner County citizens. I also want to ask, do you change the assessment for fraudulent, poorly built homes that are in poor MLD places that are constantly battling flooding? Did you reduce their assessment? So I'm against this. You're essentially taxing us on what you think we can sell our house for someday, yet we have not sold our homes yet, so we don't know if we're going to get that price. So I oppose this. I think the funding needs to stop. Thank you.
Well, I would say, I would address first your concern about the methodology. And the methodology we use in this county is the same methodology that's used in this state, this country, and other countries. Properties have been assessed for tax purposes going back to Egyptian. You can go back 5,000 years and properties were being assessed for tax purposes. But the methodologies we use today are the ones that are authorized by the state, by state statute, and are regulated, governed by the Idaho State Department of Taxes.
Any additional public comment? Or deliberation?
I struggle with the software, and I think that the fact that the public is going to be able to get a copy, because when my property's not in an area and we're doing, it's not the assessor's office, it's the process itself when you have to pay property tax. I'll say have to pay property tax. Just because it's the comparable, what is comparable to my property looking outside of the footprint is difficult, and I understand the assessor's office trying to find a way to bring teeth to it. It is, I like hearing that the public would get a copy of what this is. I think the system is not, it's not the Bonner County Assessor's Office, it is the process of having property tax that's an inherent problem. But I hear that concern, because when I originally saw this, I thought of, you know, a lot of people do the compare contrast, but then a lot of people say, well, you've moved very far away from my property. And I think that that's where having the open dialogue with the assessor until we remove property tax is going to be what's necessary to address that we have to have, we're going to have a value every year. So that I just want to make sure that the funding is appropriate for the way this is being brought forward. And then for people that have questions, if once it gets up and running, to use it to your advantage with the assessor's office and open that dialogue until that changes. So that's my comment on that, because I hear the same concerns on property value.
And I just might add, if you don't mind, as far as the way we assess and what we make available to the public, this assessor's office is the most transparent of any assessor's office that's existed in this county. You can go onto our new website. You can look at our monthly budget, our expenditures, not only for the assessor, but for the DMV and GIS. You can go on there, and there's a 360-plus page assessor's manual, which was approved and issued by the state tax commissioner, detailing all of my responsibilities and how those things should be done. I, and nor do my staff, hide anything from the public when it comes to evaluation. And it's our goal to be as transparent as possible. And I think we've proven that through our actions.
Yeah, I support that. I think most reasonable people would understand and would appreciate the fact that the assessor's office here in Bonner County is doing their best and doing their due diligence to make sure that properties are fairly appraised and equitably across the board, because what happens when you have a parcel that is underappraised, that passes the tax burden on to the rest of us. And obviously, if we're overappraised, that person is going to appreciate being brought back to where it should be. So I personally would support any tool that would make the appraisers capable more capable, more able to get a more accurate assessment. And we always complain about property taxes, but that's not your department. It's a misconception. And that would be a state issue also. So talk to your state reps if you have problems with your property taxes.
Any additional board deliberation?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm in support of anything that we can reasonably do to try to the best of our ability, confirm equity 100%. That's being on the Board of Equalization, that's a really challenging situation to sit there and try to be sure that we're making truly fair decisions, and the more data we have to review to consider whether or not we think something is fair and equitable, the better job we can do. And we can't do it without good tools, and unfortunately there's cost that goes with those tools, and so that's the cost of doing business. And I think as long as we're doing it responsibly, we're not spending unnecessarily, then I think it's our due diligence. Additional deliberation. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner
Dahlke? Yes.
Commissioner
Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner
Horn?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sheriff, item one.
Good morning again, Commissioners. Roy Lakeville, Bonner County Sheriff's Office. Is the first one you have the A to B transfer?
Yes.
Okay. So
we're associated with the Tahoe?
Yes. The Board of County Commissioners approved a one-time enhancement for the jail to purchase a 2026 Chevrolet Tahoe. The funds for that enhancement were allocated to the incorrect budget. A resolution is being submitted with a request to transfer $56,811.36 from the B budget to the C budget.
Does the board have any questions?
No questions.
I want to ask a stupid question. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Apparently we said yes.
I don't know. The money came. It just went to the wrong spot. So.
Any additional questions?
No.
Jessica, did you have your hand up?
I did. I was just going to say, it's just because of the coding that was on the resolution. When we were talking in the budget, we discussed it.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Any additional questions from the board?
Nope.
Will Commissioner make a motion?
Based on the information before us, I move to approve resolution number to be assigned, authorizing the clerk to open the jail B budget and transfer from 03461-7040 jail repair maintenance vehicles to the C budget and increase the line item 03461-9420 capital equipment by $56,611.36.
I second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any public comment on this agenda item? Board deliberation. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner
Williams?
Yes.
Commissioner
Horn?
Yes.
Commissioner
Dahlke? Yes. Motion passes. Next, we have the roof repair, if I'm tracking correctly.
Roof repair. Okay. So I presented the same thing last week, but there might be some additional questions, but I'll do the best I can here. If we need to, move into executive session. For your consideration, the Bonner County Sheriff's Office would like to enter into agreement with Fisher Roofing Services to repair the Sheriff's Office jail roof. The price and time and materials are not to exceed $6,500. There are sufficient funds in the 03450-7430 sheriff/repair/maintenance buildings budget to pay for these repairs.
Does the board have any questions?
Right. We have a warranty, and in the last meeting you said that the idea was we would try this and see if it worked first. My concerns are, we have a warranty, why wouldn't we ask for them to come out and take a look at it? This price point isn't very high. are you potentially invalidating a warranty by someone else going on that roof versus working through legal to address what we've already paid for, given that we reviewed the contract and sent it over to Sheriff to review for what we already see as under warranty for leaking, unless...
So, based on advice given by legal Bill Wilson, with all those topics in consideration, he suggested that we move ahead with this repair and then explore the other portions of that if that doesn't have a fully positive and desired result. Nate might have additional information today, but that was...
Or Nate goes... I will say I think that Bill should have to explain the rationale of you could potentially invalidate a warranty that we have by having another company go out there. I can't see the logic behind paying money when we have a warranty versus telling that company to come out on the roof. And I don't, it's not really a legal opinion, it's we have a warranty. So I have an issue with spending $6,500 when I went through that contract top to bottom, and I did that last year and revisited that again and sent it over to Bill. I went back through emails, and Bill confirmed that he reached out to a contact to go out and take a look at that roof. And when I did jail inspection this last time, I asked, did we do those things? We didn't. I can't see why the county would pay $6,500 instead of make a phone call when Bill's last email on this roof was, Rick has a relationship with the company that put that on. Just, and he goes out there, why not just go out there and then come back and say, they're not willing to do this, or this is what the warranty said, versus spend $6,500. Because I could easily see saying, it's like that, don't tear the receipt off your mattress, and they can say it's not under warranty. I don't understand how that makes sense for us to pay $6,500 when the last written opinion I have from Bill is, Rick should coordinate with this contract.
And to piggyback off of that real quick, I would like to ask if there was any negotiations between this company that wants to provide this service and the prior roofing contractor to see if the prior roofing contractor, what his opinion is as far as, is he going to void the warranty if someone else touches it? Because that's usually how it is in construction. Last person that touches it owns it. And number two, if the prior contractor that we have the warranty with, if he agrees that this sounds like it would be a fix, how come they're not paying for that?
All I can, I guess, comfortably say is there's a lot of finger-pointing. Something has happened since that email chain, and there's a ton of finger-pointing, and there's additional concerns that I believe need to be mitigated sooner than later.
So is this what needs to be an executive session so that we can discuss this?
I believe so.
Okay, because I would like to discuss it.
So I'm going to, before we go that route, because you have to have a reason to go there on discomfort and not on his part, but of the conversation isn't that. So when I did jail inspection, I sent an email over, I got a response back. The question was, the jail lieutenant says, who did you meet with last week regarding the roof? And that person said that the roof may have been installed in a fashion that needs to be repaired. And this is January 2026, that doesn't take away the warranty that we have in place to go out and take a look and give input. And that step, I will not support an executive session because there's no reason to go there. The only options you get are hiring personnel, real property, record exempt, trade or commerce litigation. This is a contract we already did with an already legal opinion that the Board of Commissioners got from Bill Wilson already to just go out and take a look at the jail.
So
So if we believe it's possible that a warranty is not being executed, there may be litigation matter ahead of us. So I think litigation would be
litigation is the executive session.
We've never asked them to go and look at it. So we haven't, just because, so if something, so like, for example, when we've got the across the street and the system went out, I can't remember what it was in EMS, we have a warranty. It doesn't make it litigation because something broke. It's have them come out and take a look at it. We haven't done those steps yet. We're just making an assumption that hasn't come to the board. And that's my issue, because this is not that undersheriff has brought it forward. This has been going on for over a year and a half with conversations about jail roof. And my last legal opinion from Bill is that they need to have the people that have the warranty covered go out and take a look at it. That, what's the reason? Fear of litigation isn't a reason to go into executive session. It's that it's pending or that we can see it there. We haven't even, all we would be doing is saying, come and take a look at our roof, it's leaking. And then once you get that report and they say, well, no, we're not going to do it. And then we say, well, I've got a warranty. We might be headed towards litigation. To me, that's a reason to go into executive session. But I am going to stick to my position that it's not an executive session topic on the jail roof. We have a warranty. Bill gave an opinion in writing that directed the jail to have that company come out and take a look at it. It's uncomfortable because of who that is, but that's, I just can't, I can't go that route. So,
Mr. Nate out of my county prosecutor's office. I'm not as knowledgeable on this as Mr. Wilson is. However, my understanding is that the leak has been, potentially is not the roof. It is the drains that were installed in the roof that were installed by a different subcontractor that there is not a warranty for.
So if that's the case, then the people that we have the warranty out, why wouldn't they be the first ones before we mess with a roof? Because we are operating on the idea versus this company came out who installed the roof and said, because I've heard that comment before, but we've never had them come out. So what you just said isn't a new comment about what's causing the jail roof. Some of that jail roof, have you walked on that roof? So that roof looks like a RV roof top, so you screw those things down. So they've had multiple different ideas of what could be causing that. But unless and until the contractor who put that roof on, and this is my position and I'm being very forceful on this, unless they go out there and say, yep, your roof is leaking, but it isn't the part we did, it's the additional part that you guys did, we could potentially invalidate what we already did. We don't know. Paying somebody $6,500 to go and do a repair to see if it fixes it without having asked the current people could invalidate other issues that we've talked about, whether or not it's the drain. We've talked about whether or not it's where we screwed down, where we put in the air conditioner units. There's too many ifs without the person who did the roof being asked to go out and look at the roof. And that's been going on for some time. If I'm not the majority on this, that's fine, but if I've got a warranty, I've got to look at the warranty before I go out otherwise. And it's a yes otherwise, but the worst scenario you can be in is if you invalidate a warranty because you didn't ask the guy to go out and take a look that put that roof on.
And I agree with most of everything what you're saying, but I can't move forward without more information, and it sounds like the undersheriff feels like he doesn't want to give more information in a public meeting for one reason or the other. The only way I'm going to get to hear this information is if we go into executive session. I don't know why, and it sounds like he doesn't want to divulge that information for one reason or the other. Unless you want to address the issues that I just brought up.
It was the advice given to me by Bill Wilson that we discuss this in executive session. Unfortunately, there's been at least a couple months of a couple email chains with legal, and I don't know what, did Bill talk to you since last week?
I don't think since last week.
Okay, so I get
so if our roof leaks, it's
been leaking for several years. What's that?
Session. If our legal department is
that was
suggesting
his
that we go into executive session, and I believe that we should go into executive session. I don't know why, but I'm assuming we will find out.
The board can't it's not just if legal tells you to do it. So can you look at yours and tell us how you get into executive session? This is by far probably one of the most difficult spots that you get in, because you have to choose whether or not you have a legal reason to go in executive session. So which reason would you give to, per the open meeting guidelines, secret this conversation in an executive session to talk about a roof and a contract?
That should have been Bill's job to tell us why he wanted us to go in.
But you're saying that you would
I would agree that if our legal department is telling us that we need to go in an executive session, but I would leave it up to the legal department to tell us why we need to go in an executive session. Plain and simple.
You ultimately have to make that decision as the commissioner, so that's why I'm asking you. You have to make the motion with a second on an executive session.
So I'd like to break into the conversation for a moment. I want to ask the undersheriff. It sounds to me, I'd like you to confirm this is correct, that part of what you're proposing is based on the recommendation of Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
And we don't have Mr. Wilson available to participate in a conversation at this time. To my knowledge, I don't see him online. He's not here. So if you've been proceeding based on advice from Mr. Wilson and we don't have Mr. Wilson available to explain to us why he thinks an executive session is necessary and participate in that conversation, it sounds like we don't have all the information that's pertinent to have an effective meeting on this topic right now. Because I know I have a lot of questions about who has what contracts, what's the scope of work each contract, how has a conclusion been reached that this recommendation is appropriate based on those contracts and the scope of work. And it sounds like we don't have that information available right now for this meeting today. And so there may be a valid reason to have an executive session to discuss some of those things. If someone believes that litigation is strongly possible in the future because of that, but I don't think we have that information here right now.
So it's been requested under records exempt. Did you request that?
Records exempt wasn't the words I used. I don't know how that language got on there. It was litigation would be the technical reason or request.
Because that's what's on the agenda.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably
error
on. Unfortunately, I think we have to postpone this conversation until Mr. Wilson or someone else has all of the pertinent contract information to present to explain to us what's the logic path that says they're recommending a certain action. Because I do see and understand the potential risk and concern with if we have overlapping contracts and we need to know who owns what scope of work and what liability under warranty coverage, and without that information, I don't know how we make a decision.
So I've said this, so since Nate is the attorney for the board now, do you want this? Because this has been a year and a half, and when I started this conversation, I sent the warranty, and under 1.9 warranty, it states, manufacturer's 30-year watertight warranty, including coverage for all trim, flashing, and penetrations associated with the roof area. And that's what I sent. There's a lot of documents. I sent all of that over to Bill, that's where the opinion came out of going through all of these documents. Would you like me to send those to you, and then you work with the sheriff's office to bring it back? I understand the roof needs to get addressed. The process by which we go by it, I clearly found a warranty here. I don't want to not have this roof repaired, if it can be repaired, by touching it with somebody else's hand. But it's a lot of paperwork.
So I think
I was giving you an out of saying you can ask Bill to step back in fully and finish this one. I didn't say I offered.
What does your task list look like?
Yeah, let's see how Thompson. I don't know that a motion hasn't been made yet.
Correct.
Okay. So I guess I'll cordially ask that we remove this again. I'm going to beg you and Bill to help me for months now, because there's been a lot of things that have happened in the last 5 months that probably aren't known to the board or otherwise, but the roof continues to leak. And so it's creating additional concerns that will be, we need to put the can right in front of us and not kick it down. Clarissa said she has $49 million, so let's.
She said she can use other people's money.
I stuck out was it's not ours. So maybe we should have a sit down that has a let's go over the email thread and the documents. I am going to be forceful on it because the documents matter, and I will tell you what one of my comments when I read the documents was, this looks very open-ended of a warranty, which allowed for a very long period of time for review. So I will forward this to you, and then can we have an agreement that maybe we have a conversation before we'll schedule a time to go through what I worked on with Bill, with you, since you'll take it over. I didn't get, this is nonverbal communication. It feels uncomfortable.
There's nothing on the record.
No. I know, that's it feels intentional.
He's very aware of that.
It was a little sideways from
I'm taking that as Nate said, yes, I will work on this and we'll get progress on it.
Correct.
Together.
I heard the undersheriff offer request to remove this item from the agenda so there could be some more work done on the background and try to bring this resolution as quickly as possible, because it sounds like the full board agrees that we all acknowledge and have seen that there is a roof leak issue that needs to be resolved. We've all performed inspections. We understand the need. It's just we need to do it the right way.
Yes, everything you said. Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you. So then we'll not continue with this agenda item. And at the request of the undersheriff, and wait for it to come back onto the agenda.
Very good.
And so then, we are going to come back to you at the end for executive session for a different topic.
I think I'm presenting that as it is, and there may be questions that require going into executive session, but
okay.
We may get through it.
All right, so we'll have that after the public comment.
Okay, very good.
So we'll have to call you back then.
But we're not going to address it now.
It's not the way we adopted the order of the agenda.
It was so that he can speak and go into it.
In case we need the executive session, it'll be at the end, I think, is the reason we did it that way. Okay, so where are we? We are on District 1 Commissioner update. So this last week I've been primarily focused on some personnel matters and some land use files. I'd also like to highlight two things. One is at last month's planning department update meeting, we regularly get updates when it comes to what the planning department has identified as potential building and land use violations. And they have identified some of those through the use of the aerial imagery. And so I'd ask the question of them what the effectiveness was. In other words, how credible, how accurate has that been? Because obviously if we're sending out potential violation letters and asking people to be responsive to those things, if we have a 5% accuracy rate versus a 95% accuracy rate, it makes a big difference in my mind as to whether or not we should continue to use that approach. So they studied the last 2 years, and so 2025 being the most current year, both years were fairly similar, but in 2025 there were 130 total violations that were anticipated through the use of that tool. And then five of those 130 were determined to be unfounded or not accurate, and those were resolved in that way.
So 125 were found to actually be true violations that needed to be addressed. So that calculates out to be approximately a 96% accuracy rate with the use of that tool with trained staff. So all of that to say, you've heard me speak in the past about how I've been contacted by members of the public who've gotten a violation letter, and they say, I don't understand what this is, why do they get a violation letter, what's going on? And I've explained that this is something that the planning department has been doing for the last few years, and that it may not be valid, it should be confirmed, and they should have a conversation with the planning department to determine whether or not it's a valid violation. But this is just to show that I appreciate the planning department doing this evaluation for me so we can understand if, in fact, this has been a functional tool. And so I do think that it makes sense that with how they're utilizing this information, because of their accuracy and the way they've been able to get resolution on a lot of those violations through that process. And then I really want to highlight and congratulate our Road and Bridge Department, and in particular, Matt Mulder, the Road and Bridge Engineer. So he made us aware as a board last week that they had applied for a number of grants, and Bonner County, through the effort that they put in, was the number one ranked grant award for two particular grants. One is for the Whiskey Jack Bridge at approximately $4.8 million, and the other is for guardrails throughout the county that are adjacent to water bodies or adjacent to water as a hazard, and that was in the amount of approximately $1.9 million. So because of the efforts of staff and Matt Mulder in particular to pursue those grants and do a good job on writing those applications, and then other considerations that go into the scoring, Bonner County was ranked number one for both of those awards. So that's a lot of funding that's coming into the county through these grant opportunities because of that effort and that expertise that's been going into it. So congratulations to Matt and the Road and Bridge Department for all that effort and how it's helping to pay off. Does anybody have any questions about the information I reported?
Wayne Martin, Bonner County resident. Out of the 125 founded of the violations that were founded, what was the resolution that was founded? Fines or requirements of those being corrected within a time frame?
So I don't have specific details, and I'm sure a lot of those are still in process. It usually takes a number of months or longer sometimes to get full resolution. Sometimes there is willful compliance. People will go through the proper permitting process and get things resolved. Sometimes people choose not to respond. And sometimes that results in legal action by the county when it comes to their titles and other things. So, but I don't have a detailed report on that. Just I had asked this one question about part of the data that gets reported at our monthly updates with the planning department. And so, like I said, I just wanted to understand whether or not this process, this method that was being used, was actually something that seemed like it was a legitimate methodology that we should continue with, or if they should consider replacing it with something else. But in this case, it seemed like it was something of value given the accuracy that they found with it. Any additional questions? All right, I'll turn it over to District 2.
All right, ongoing issues and concerns, and I'll dovetail off of compliance. One of the things I've asked our group to do is to address what do you do after they find a violation, and we talked about that a little bit yesterday in the planning update meeting of we don't have like the litter ordinance, or we don't have the non-compliance where once they find it, it's just kind of we're marking it down. And I think it's probably about 2 years ago, one of the things prosecutor's office said was once we start cleaning out our backlog of litigation, we should start addressing what are we going to do with their office compared to compliance. And so I've asked that we start working on that to develop an ordinance to address those issues and concerns. Their litigation update, I've got two mediations coming up. We're trying to resolve some of the three cases in mediation, and hopefully we get resolution in the next few months on those. We do have the question
about planning opinion on the legal opinion on planning so that we can start comprehensive plan. Are we almost done? Like, he's laughing.
That would be a reference to my question, just to be clear, in case it wasn't clear which question she's referring to.
So, we're almost done. He went but nonverbal again on me. He's almost done. So, and I know people have asked about comprehensive plan updating. We are working on that. Nate's doing a thorough job on that opinion. It is just taking a little bit of time for, I think you were hopeful to be done in this week. Yeah, okay. The discussion regarding open board positions, we've got Fair Board has openings that will close this Friday. They're encouraging people to participate. Thank you to the Fair for participating with a meeting yesterday. We've got a lot of movement in the right direction with respect to the Fair, and so it was nice to see the public come out in that support. Health insurance for the county in terms of premium, it looks like we are looking at, I think across the state, we're seeing increases in the cost of health insurance premiums. And so it's something that I'm still tracking to see what can we do to help address the impact to the taxpayer while equally ensuring that we get out a good policy to staff. I've got a lot of things coming up. So I'm going to read off, and I did print some things. So upcoming this 27th, which is this Friday, at Lamana High, there is Stop the Bleed training for students. If you are a person that can actually do that training, they are still looking for more trainers. So as part of Medical Reserve Corps, I think our last number was 8 more trainers were needed. There's about 80 people signed up to do this, which is a big deal for our area, especially for West Bonner County School District, because we're always trying to get them to participate. So even if you're not a Stop the Bleed instructor and you want to just be present and help support, you can absolutely participate. It starts, and I don't know why a high school would choose the earliest time possible, 8:30 in the morning. We usually start at like 10 o'clock, but they picked 8:30, so it's a rise and shine. On March 31st, which is next Tuesday at 11 a.m., we're going to restart Commissioner Chat, and that first chat is with Northside Fire. If you saw the paper, they put out that they're going to request a levy. One of the things that I've used chats to do is to help get information to the voters. Doesn't matter how you vote, understanding what you're voting on is important. And so Chief Armstrong and a fire commissioner, Bowman, will be present to talk about their budget and to answer any questions that the people have on that. On March 9th at 5 p.m. in Clark Fork, there is a candidate forum. Everybody that's on the primary is invited to that candidate forum. That's being hosted by a precinct committeeman, Dimitri. The purpose is the same, just to get all information out to the public as you go into primary. April 11th at 10 a.m. at the Blanchard Community Center. It is a land use question and answer session. Everybody's invited. I got a couple of requests from some developers, real estate, and public to kind of be able to have more of question and answer on land use decision making by the board. And so for that, we invited any candidate running that wants to be a participant of that. On May 2nd, we have the Spirit Valley Town Hall. That one has a special guest. Mark with Senator Risch's office will be present to talk about the Albany Dam. Representative Scott brought this up as a question of where are we at with the dam, not just in the repair, but in terms of the state of Idaho. So we asked Risch's office if we could get some question answer time, and Mark has agreed to participate. So town hall is always annual in my precinct, and you'll get our LD2 reps. Southwest Bonner County is Heather Scott, Phil Hart, and Dale Hawkins. You'll see them, and then I am inviting all of the people running for office that want an opportunity to speak with the public, specific highlighting the precinct committeeman race, because that is the Spirit Valley precinct. So that will be incumbent Steve Truss with a challenger of Jonathan Welch. And so I encourage people to participate. We will have a donation from LifeFlight. They always donate a LifeFlight membership. This location is different because somebody's wanting to have a baby, and so they took my spot. But we will be at Stone Ridge donated their resort, so it'll be at the Activity Center at Stone Ridge. for the Spirit Valley Town Hall. It's been a useful opportunity for members of the public to be in front of elected officials, in front of people making decisions, and just ask questions and understand. There have been a lot of bills that have come out. One of the things that happened yesterday that was important was JFAC did vote to approve spending funds for our assertive community treatment program. It's not all the way through the gauntlet, but it did make some movement. The other issue we have is, as we have changed behavioral health as a state, we are disbanding the Regional Behavioral Health Board. I sit on that particular board. It's being absorbed into health and welfare. We're trying to identify how do we address some of the services that were provided by way of that. Currently, one of the things we're doing is trying to address what do we do with the funds that we collected as a regional behavioral health board. And then the last thing that I am going to report out is I am going to have a leave of absence.